Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
You're listening to the Hammer and Nigel Show.
Hello, my name is Nigel. That's Jason Hammer right over there with a very special guest on the hotline.
Rick Snyder is the president of the Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge 86. He joins us now. Rick, we were talking earlier in the week about this chaotic weekend in Broad Ripple where not only was there a fatal shooting at a popular nightclub, there was also a stabbing that was very serious. Just give us your thoughts on what you saw transpire in Broad Ripple this past weekend.
Well, I think it's another classic example of as the door turns. You know, we've been talking about this revolving door now for going on 4 years. And in Marion County in Indianapolis, not much has improved. It's a reality that's now setting in, I think, for people who have been watching this from afar. They're starting to see it play out in their own neighborhoods. And I think people are starting to come to the realization that we're starting to reap what's been sown by the local Indianapolis crime deniers and soft-on-crime advocates and enablers within our criminal justice system. You know, we had a shooter that was arrested with this mass shooting that occurred in Broad Ripple, and only to find out that this suspect, it appears, according to media reports, has prior convictions, including prior convictions for felonies. So this was a prohibited possessor who was not lawfully in possession of a firearm to begin with. But it gets worse because we find out, according to the media, that he perhaps only served a little over a year for a prior felony burglary charge, and then only 47 days for domestic-related strangulation that was a conviction after the prior felony. And so this guy is back out onto the streets, and now he's a suspect with multiple people shot and a person that's lost their life. You look at this other incident, you know, everybody wants to talk about guns, but as we have said, it's about shootings, stabbings, and other felonious attacks. You have a stabbing that occurs in which a female stabs another female two different times. And then in that, media reports say that the suspect appeared to be giddy and was asking, did she die? Well, when you dig into that one, you find out that this event occurred with that suspect out on another low bond that was radically reduced by the courts for a prior arrest and charge of criminal confinement with a deadly weapon. When you research that, you find that the initial bond was $40,000. Drastically reduced, cut in half to $20,000, and then the suspect's back out on the street and paying less than $2,000. And so, guys, I just think it's another example of what we've been pointing to, and tragically, there are many lives that have been impacted by it.
So, Rick, who do we point the finger at for how these people keep getting out? Obviously, the prosecutor, it's Ryan Mears. He's the man in charge of prosecution in the county. But is this a situation where some of these judges have accepted sweetheart plea deals and offered things out there, and they're the ones that we should blame for this?
Well, obviously, when you look at the shooter that had a sweetheart plea deal in which multiple felony domestic-related charges were summarily dismissed based on the plea deal, and an alternative misdemeanor sentencing was made available on a strangulation charge, the number one lethality predictor for domestic-related violence, a judge does not have to accept that plea deal. They does not have to accept the terms of the plea agreement between the state, the prosecutor, and the defendant. And that's the role of the judge, is to be a check and balance on that. So, again, I think local residents and taxpayers should be digging into these cases, asking the question, who were the judges that made these decisions, and looking for ways in terms of where does the accountability lie for that. I would also say, guys, take a look at the, you know, this is, again, multiple incidents of violence in the Broad Ripple area. And what we have said is there are ripple effects that affect the bottom line when it comes to allowing a level of silence by our elected and appointed officials as it relates to the violence that's been occurring. It's no secret that's been happening in Broad Ripple. But I would ask you guys this question. Where are the gun-free zones that the Broad Ripple Village Association promised up there? You remember that when there was a mayor running for re-election, and just before that was campaigning on how they were going to do these gun-free zones in cooperation with the local association? But guess what they found? It was exactly what we pointed out when we said we cannot, as law enforcement professionals, constitutional police officers, support or stand by such a program because it violates the Constitution. And guess what else those private associations and entities found out? They would absorb the liability that was involved when something tragic would occur. And as soon as their bottom line, their wallet was going to be threatened and impacted, they all pulled out of the arrangement. And now you have another failed promise and another political agenda that failed to produce.
Rick, something you have supported is some of the new technology that's being used to track these criminals. How important was that technology with the Broad Ripple shooter?
Well, it was the missing piece that actually solved the puzzle. First and foremost, it was solid police work. You know, as I've been saying, your police are not your problem. They continue to stand the line. They continue to do their jobs. Superior police work combined with the technology package that we called for all the way back in 2019 to be funded, which were additional public safety cameras, and license plate reader technology, as well as these private cameras that private companies, businesses, and residents cooperated with police to help track these offenders. Don't forget, guys, we also called for a gunshot detection system for various parts of our city where critical infrastructure occurs and where mass gatherings are, and that still has yet to occur. So we're hopeful that will be the next piece to all this. We don't know if it will be or not, but we're hopeful that it will be. But, guys, without a doubt, what we're finding is, even as important as the technology is, you must have the human being police officer. And as we know, we're losing those officers in droves in Indianapolis.
Rick Snyder is our guest. He is the president of the Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge 86. Rick, you bring up the shortage of officers here. There's also a new chief of police with IMPD. So when you factor in the officer shortage, what appears to be a prosecutor, mayor, and many judges, apparently, that are soft on crime, what kind of challenges are ahead for new chief of police Chris Bailey?
Well, the deck is stacked against us. There's no doubt about that. The number one challenge that Chief Bailey is facing is the officer shortage combined with abysmal morale in the police department. We have more officers leaving than we can bring in. Guys, we are now 350 officers short. We're going to lose over 100 more officers this calendar year. And in next month in April, we have a new recruit class coming on. Do you know how many officers we have in that recruit class?
No.
16. That's 1/6. For an agency that should be about 1,850 officers, and we're now down below 1,500 officers. Chief Bailey has said publicly that when we cross that threshold of going below 1,500 officers, whoever the chief of police would be forced to make decisions on reducing services available to residents. And listen, guys, that's not some kind of crazy conspiracy theory or something such as that. It's occurring all over our nation, here, near, and far. It's occurred in Pittsburgh, where they cut back on the number of officers available in overnight hours, and people said, well, that's Pittsburgh. Well, now we learn in Washington County, Indiana, they have now stopped providing deputies on patrol overnight, during overnight hours when most crime will occur. And then here in IMPD in Indianapolis, we're looking at what services we're going to cut. Those are things like IMPD has already taken steps to get rid of their arson investigation unit with law enforcement officers. They have to look at other auxiliary programs such as our GREAT program, our Police Athletic League program, our Community Affairs program. Those are the first things that get cut when we start talking about a reduction in services. And I have to tell you, I believe that taxpayers expect and deserve the protection that they have paid for. But guys, here's the crux of this whole deal. We've allowed folks to drive a wedge between the community and the police who serve them. And what we have actually seen is that when you drive the purpose out of policing, you drive the police out of the profession. And I would suggest to you that that is exactly what has occurred.
Do you feel like officers feel supported by leadership in Indianapolis and Marion County?
I think their biggest barometer of that is, quite frankly, we're in the process of starting the next negotiations for the next contract. Why is that important? People may say, well, that's just about the money. No, it's not. It actually shows what the sentiment is of our elected and appointed leader as it relates to our law enforcement officers. And it also tells them what they can expect at least over the next several years in Indianapolis. And when competition is as stiff as it is right now, where officers can go to any agency in the state or any other state and receive better pay, better benefits, and better equipment, it becomes an overwhelming concern. But listen, guys, we have to start tapping into the intangible as well. And that is the purpose for the police officer. G.K. Chesterton once said that the true soldier fights not because he hates what is in front of him, but because he loves what is behind him. That's the exact same thing that our officers face and why they do what they do. But that our city, our state, and quite frankly, our nation is starting to become overwhelmed by a sense of lawlessness. And as that increases, the Bible tells us the love of many will grow cold. And I would suggest to you that's what you're seeing in our cities, in our state, and in across our country. And something has to turn here, guys, before this hits too far away from us.
Rick Snyder, President, Fraternal Order of Police, Lodge 86. Rick, as always, we appreciate your time. God bless you, and tell your officers God bless.